whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's going to be a fun show today. NFL football is back, baby.
Yeah.
Packers and Bears tonight. So the wait is over. And I always think of non-football season like this. And I love baseball. I love the Rangers. I love the Mavericks. I've been fans of them my whole life. But for me, the end of football season represents such a tragic time. Not having Cowboys football. First of all, the Cowboys season ending. And then a month later, football season ending, Cowboys typically don't go too far in the playoffs. Hopefully that changes.
Sir.
But it's the end of fantasy football, and it's the end of football, and it just sucks. And so all the other sports have to do is just get us there. You know, the Rangers just stay relevant just long enough. Mavericks, come on, do your job. I mean, there's just if we could just get enough other things happening. Just to stem the tide. I guess the Mavericks don't come into that as much, but I feel like when we finally get back to the beginning of football season, we've done it. We've arrived.
I love the fall for a jillion different reasons. Now, obviously, with the NBA being my favorite sport, I don't have quite the letdown after football season that most people do, but the fall is far and away my favorite time of year. One is 10 years ago, the weather would start to change. Now it doesn't happen until late November. But I love football. I love having college football on Saturdays, pro football on Sundays. I love Thursday nights with pro football. Heck, there's even great college football on Thursday nights, too. And then as an NBA fan, I love getting ramped up for the NBA season. I feel like the Mavs will be really good this year. And I love fall golf. So for all of those reasons, this is far and away my favorite time of the year, Ben. I way prefer it to spring. I just love everything about fall. I love the football season, and I would love it if you guys would get your weekend started early, lunch style. Like a lot of people really party hard on Thursday nights. There's no reason for you not to pregame at lunch and join us in Addison. Lunch is always delicious at Pluckers. We have a lot of Tolos here right off the Tollway, Central Tollway area. Get on out here. Join us for lunch. Let's get our grub on and let's get ready for a kick-ass NFL season, because I have not been this optimistic for Dallas Cowboys football since that Wade Phillips team with Romo and DeMarcus Ware and Jay Ratliff and that whole gang. I felt like that team could win a Super Bowl. I feel like this team can win a Super Bowl.
Every Thursday morning, I start to get the vibe, hey, the weekend's here. You know, and I think there's a lot of people at work right now listening, probably going, man, Plucker's lunch. In Addison?
Hell yeah.
That sounds great. Maybe I'll sneak a drink in with one of their cold beers.
Hell yeah.
Hey, guess what, guys? It's not 101 degrees in here at Pluckers it is outside.
Yep.
It's a good, solid 72, most likely. Maybe a little less than that. Okay? Nice climate. And then you're leading up to the night, and there's football tonight for the 100th NFL season ever. In the first quarter, the Bears take the ball down to the Packers 26 and will line up for a 43-yard field goal with Eddie Pinheiro. And he's going to doink it. He's going to go doink off the left upright.
That's not a doink. That's a dong.
As that happens, you're going to go, my God, I can't wait till Maher gets a shot on Sunday. And you're thinking about the Cowboys and Giants and the good college football. The weekend is here. Come hang out and have lunch with us. I'm excited.
Yeah. We really need, just as Cowboy fans that want to generate momentum. I know everybody's gone on all these various websites, whether it's ESPN or the NFL or 538 or whatever, and they see, hey, the Bears. Boy, are they a team to be. We like the Eagles and the Bears ahead of the Cowboys. I'd love to see the Bears go in there and spit the bit and have Aaron Rodgers dance on their heads tonight.
You used to love the 85 Bears, dude.
I did too, me. The thing that I've noticed the most in terms of what the local media thinks and what the national media thinks and where they're apart is I don't feel like the national media has a ton of respect for the Cowboys, for the Cowboys defense, or for Dak. I feel like, and I feel like they feel like, okay, defense, middle of the road, Dak, middle of the road, Cowboys chances, maybe a little bit above middle of the road. But I don't think anyone out there nationally is sitting there saying, yep, Cowboys are a contender. They're saying, okay, yeah, they're one of the good teams in the NFC. But nobody's spending a lot of time. I feel like most people think the Eagles are going to be better than the Cowboys.
I think most people feel like the Eagles will be better than the Cowboys, but I do think the majority of that, Ben, is Dak-related. I think the defense has a healthy respect out there. I think locally we think it's probably better than national, but You know, in most of these defensive projections, you see them. I think the Cowboys ended up sixth or seventh last year. But I think you're dead on about the Dak thing. I mean, we always have these wherever we go. Like, if you're at Pluckers right now, they have what is this show called? Get Yelled At. And right now, what does Zeke's deal mean for Dak Prescott? And there's people right now yelling that Dak sucks. And that's just the nature of the game. But I really think that after a month of the season, or maybe even two or three weeks of the season, the national chatter for the Cowboys is really going to heat up. I firmly believe that.
I think I looked at a couple outlets. One was 538, who's actually a political website, but they do
or just projection. A polling website.
They're a polling website.
They're an analytics website.
And they had the Eagles with a higher chance to make the playoffs, go to the Super Bowl than the Cowboys.
And the Bears.
A Monday morning quarterback polled like 12 of their riders, and a lot of them had the Eagles going a little farther than the Cowboys and things like that. But I think there's also like a bigger question of like Carson Wentz's health, which I think is very interesting. One thing that I thought Broaddus said when he was on with Sean and RJ a couple hours ago was he said the Zeke deal is good for the quarterback, it's good for the offensive line, good for the tight end, it's good for the wide receivers. It's good for the coaching staff.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing I think we can all agree on, that, hey, it kind of makes everyone better, so let's just kind of move on.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? No, I agree with you. I think that's fantastic, especially when you realize the Cowboys are going for it in this window that they're in right now. We're going to get into some conversation about the Cowboys' defense and whether or not they can be elite. You're right, last year's skin in yards allowed, they were seventh best. In total points, they were sixth best. Not bad, but this is pretty crazy. And we'll get into this article in The Athletic that we'll talk about. But do you guys know what the Cowboys were, their defense was on third down in terms of getting off the field and getting stops?
So like percentage of finishing the drive, I guess?
Third down defense.
70%?
Well, no, where they ranked in the league.
I bet.
They're 27th.
Really?
27th. Wow. So they were one of the worst defenses in the league on third down. Wow. They were a good defense in terms of not allowing explosive plays. They were a good defense in not allowing a lot of points, obviously, and not allowing a lot of yards. But they struggled on third down. They also are a team. This is a fascinating article by our buddy Bob in The Athletic, is how rarely the Cowboys blitz. in terms of how often they blitz, overall they blitz.
Bottom five.
They are 25th in the NFL, okay. So bottom seven, right?
Yeah.
In terms of blitzing on first down, 22nd
in the league. None of that surprises
me. On second down, no one blitzes less often than the Cowboys. they are the least blitzing team in the NFL on second down. On third down, okay, they move up a little bit. They're 14th, so they're roughly middle of the pack, right in there. And then on third and seven or more, they're 14th. They're not going to blitz unless it's third down.
I would thought third and seven or more, every team in the league would unanimously blitz every single time. I'm like, why are we even debating this? You make that quarterback get rid of the ball in 1 or 2 seconds. Anytime it's third and seven or long. And if you don't, you're just farting around.
Yeah, I also think the defensive play caller, Rashard, a defensive backs type of guy, who played defensive back in the NFL and in college, you know, might be going, hey, my guys can cover. We're good. But then I don't know the rates for when Rod was calling plays, what the blitz rate was.
And Rod's ready for you.
How much it's changed. The one thing I know that's changed a lot is they do play more cover three than cover two, which brings the safety down, and you have kind of the one roving free safety. I think that's interesting, though. You know, the play calling change that happened last year and where that's going.
Well, let's see it manifest this year.
As Rashard said, we self-scout. We look at all the things we do. After each game, we watch what we did. What did we call? Do we call? Or are we showing tendencies and things like that? And I think that was very interesting. I mean, I think every coach probably does that. But, you know, what if he's like, man, we didn't blitz enough and we weren't getting off the field? Maybe we'll be the seventh most blitzing team on third down.
All right, let's do this. We're going to get into that defense at noon, but I do want to hit this. We're going to finally put this to bed. But the Zeke numbers came out yesterday via various people. First one I saw had it was Todd Archer.
Archer was all over this. He's done a great job.
But, you know, looking at it, different people have different opinions on it. My first reaction before I saw the breakdown of it was that it was a five-year deal. A lot of people had the reaction that it was a four-year deal. But if you look at the numbers, one of the things that I think is very evident is that after the 2022 season, if Ezekiel Elliott has not slowed down, let me just go ahead and guarantee you that if he's kicking ass still at that age, he will hold out. after 4 years, he will hold out. And I'm 1,000% convinced of that. That's if he is still producing at a crazy high level 4 years from now.
Right. And you know what? I don't have a problem with it. Honestly, this idea of, hey, players sign a contract, they got to honor their contract. Dude, the minute Lyle Collins signed his deal, everyone started talking about, okay, they can cut Tyron Smith. Tyron Smith gave the Cowboys a team-friendly deal. It's like it works both ways. There's no loyalty from the team, and there shouldn't be loyalty from the players. They should get everything they can, and if they've got the leverage, use it. Get what you deserve. If you don't have the leverage, well, the team will part ways with you.
Yeah, and it's a different scenario for running backs later in their lives, obviously. One thing I heard yesterday that was really surprising to me, because once I saw these numbers, I was like, well, we had talked about Zeke clearly won. He got his money and got more money than he would get over the next 2 years. Waiting to see what the Cowboys do. Ben pointed out yesterday at the top of the show, the best point I heard, the fans clearly won the most. But as these numbers came out, I was like, man, the Cowboys clearly won their aspect of it. And somebody that I trust 1,000% said the Cowboys didn't feel like they won the deal. And that really, really surprised me. Because from the outside looking in, I was like, man, this is great for them. And I think it kind of goes back to that conversation we've had a million times about the value of a running back, how teams are valuing the running back. And I was thinking about that. Why would the Cowboys feel that way? And probably the reason they feel that way is because they still have to sign Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott. And I'm sure in their mind they wanted to pay Zeke less, but Zeke held his ground, got his money, and so the Cowboys had to pay him more than they envisioned him paying, even though from the outside looking in, we all think, hey, this makes a hell of a lot of sense. So there are so many moving parts, and it does go down to that original Stephen Jones comment from months ago. They've earmarked money for certain guys, and I think that the Cowboys probably exceeded the money that they earmarked.
Yeah, agreed. And, I said this the other day that they'd agreed in principle and that there would be a press conference. And I think what happened is they thought they would get a deal done that night, and they didn't. They didn't get it done till whatever, the next morning at 6 a.m. or whatever it was.
Right.
And then with the press conference, I don't think that there were certain people involved on both sides that didn't know that Stephen and Jerry were at the stock exchange.
That's amazing.
Ringing the bell. And so planning the press conference at that point. And then yesterday, Zeke talked to the media so much, I was wondering if there's not going to be I think there still will be a press conference at some point today.
For Zeke.
I think so.
Okay.
But I
had written it off at this point.
But at the same time, it's one of those things like, These are fluid. It's very much like when KT found out that Zeke had a flight booked.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he had a flight booked. Now he changed it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing as getting the information on the press conference. I had two sources from two different places confirm that there was going to be a press conference yesterday, and then there wasn't because things changed and evolved. And I still don't know how that's going to play out today. So we'll be monitoring this. I do know this, that when Zeke was talking about the Jerry comment about him saying Zeke who, he wasn't laughing about it. He said, hey, that's in the past. Let's move on. So if he gets grilled about that a lot, it'll be fun to see how he answers that.
Mm-hmm.
He did a good job, but I could tell it bothered him. Anyways, coming up next, let's get into some Jerry Jones audio. Jerry Jones weighed in on the biggest issues in the league, and it was awesome. We've got some audio for you. You don't want to miss this next on 105.3 The Fan, live from Pluckers and Addison.
All right, thank you, Shippy. Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. We're here at Pluckers and Addison getting ready for a rowdy, raucous lunch crowd. We want you to make Thursday lunch at Pluckers your thing. Addison location today. Delicious food. And, of course, we have a little NFL football kicking off tonight. Pluckers is a great place to watch those games as well. Kicking it in the bar. It's a great sports bar. Or you can come with the fam and sit on the restaurant side. Both of those work just swimmingly. Jason Garrett coming up at the bottom of the hour. David Hellman will launch the 11 o'clock hour. Jerry Jones was in the financial district in Wall Street yesterday. We talked about him ringing the bell with Steven. Yahoo Finance pulled Jerry aside and interviewed him, and we've got some really interesting clips to go through here, guys. And let's start off with the question being, what is the current status of the NFL and what he thinks viewership is going to look like? And this is really interesting because we've talked about changing platforms, the audiences, are they moving all to, are they more into gaming, some of these kinds of things. Listen to what Jerry has to say about viewership this year.
This is the best I've ever seen it in presenting the NFL or presenting sports. Right now, all television has had a diminished viewership. The NFL has disproportionately not had that kind of drop-off. And so our television is actually stronger than it has ever been. That will serve us well when we're renegotiating our agreements with all the networks. In addition, you've got a real additional fragmentation of how our games are seen. We want to be the best you can be. We know we have the most interesting product. It's usually 7 or 8 of the top 10 programs that watched in this country all year are NFL games. We want to take advantage of that and can. It's the free, it's the availability of our game that has increased the interest in this game over the years.
Okay, that's interesting. The availability of the game that has increased the interest. I thought earlier when he was talking about there's fragmentation in their viewership or the way, I can't remember exactly how he worded it. I thought he was saying, hey, we're spread a little too thin. And then he said, no, that's been what's helped them grow. So I'm interested in that. I can tell you from selling advertising for many years and staying in touch with my friends over there in that industry that it was the case back when I sold it, and it still is the case, that live sports is the one thing that is defying the DVR. Like, live sports is one of the primary things that people want to watch live. They want to watch sports live, and they want to have secondary screen interaction. In other words, you don't want to miss out on something that's happening that's massive in pop culture. You want to be involved in the conversation, so you don't want to see it late. Because if you're watching it on delay, then your tweets and your, you know, Facebook posts or your Instagram posts, whatever, aren't as timely. And yeah, so you're not engaged or involved in the conversation. So live sports, the ratings are still through the roof because it's something that people absolutely have to watch live.
And to your point, Ben, like, there's been times where there's been something event oriented that interfered with the Cowboy game. I just have to stay off social media until I can get home and watch the Cowboy game, so it can be like a watching live experience for me, because that's the way that I want to enjoy it. I always want to enjoy it in real time when it's happening, but if I can't, I sort of sequester myself from the world until I can.
They've got it figured out to a T, though, where they try to get, hey, the Sunday night game is turned into the highlight marquee game of the week. They try to piece together with the schedule, and they've created flex scheduling to still keep that appointment viewing for a Mahomes game or of whatever, you know, our Cowboy game or something big. But I do think there's a fascinating thing that they've done, and it's a little equivalent to March Madness, where no one cares about college basketball at all until the tournament happens and every game's happening at once. And college football has a little bit of this going, but the fact that they've got this down to a T, where you're going to have 8 noon games, you're going to have 4 3 o'clock games, and it's all happening at one time, it just creates the curiosity and excitement, because there's still, while you're still seeing everything with Red Zone and whatever, there's still just a little bit of fear of missing out at all times,
yeah,
in the NFL with all the games happening at once.
Yeah, and I think the rise of fantasy football has been huge for the NFL product. And I think it's probably going to go into another stratosphere again with legalized gambling.
Absolutely.
And so they're king of the mountain now.
Mm-hmm.
Unaffected by the drop-off in television ratings and people watching in different mediums. And they're unaffected by any of that, or at least not affected as anybody else. And they're about to get another boost once everybody's allowed to bet.
Yeah, and Ben, I would also say that if you listen to Jerry's answer, he's basically thwarting all the people from the political realm that were trying to politicize ratings, because he's saying, no. All of ratings and television were dropping. Ours barely were.
Right.
And so if you're misrepresenting this information to a group of people, you're not doing them a service, because it's a lie. If you look at our product, our product is stronger than it's ever been. And here's a guy that's 77 or however old Jerry is going, I'm ecstatic about all these new platforms. I'm not scared of the new frontier. We're getting stronger. And you can see that by what you mentioned, fantasy football. You can see it by the way these different ways to consume the game. It's emboldening them. It is not weakening them. So yeah, Don't fall prey to that BS.
Yeah, and I want to talk about the, you know, again, go back to the advertising. And if you're an advertiser, you want to spend your money in something where people aren't going to skim through the commercials. And I talked about this yesterday. I was on social media, trying to find out a remedy here. We started watching Yellowstone, mm-hmm, which I can't even tell you what network it's on. I think it's Paramount or something. But my wife would order it on demand on DirecTV. Well, if you order it, that, and think about all the different ways you can consume television now.
Right.
Well, when you want to binge watch a show, you watch it on Netflix or whatever, wherever you watch it, you're going to skim through the commercials, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Well, they have it set up to where if you order on demand, you cannot skim through the commercials. And it's not a bunch of cool commercials. It's the same crap.
It's Paramount commercials.
It's Teen Moms. It's The Hills.
So it's all their shows. Yeah.
Basketball Wives. And it's the same every single commercial break. Like, I've memorized those commercials. And so I asked on social media, and they were like, oh, you can go to Amazon Prime and just buy a season for $25 a season. But it's like,
I want to do that.
Right. But I was complaining about that, and Jody Dean was like, hey, why are you complaining? You live in you provide for your family by running commercials. I'm like, yeah, that's right, but they're always different commercials.
Yeah.
And you know the deal you're getting.
Yeah.
But you're taking away our ability to fast forward. And so for advertisers to be able to be in something that people have to watch live, it's very much like me being held prisoner to have to watch Yellowstone commercials. And so that's the whole purpose of why it's great that their television ratings are still so high, because it's the only thing people watch live.
And I also think, to your point, Ben, I think eventually they're going to move back to the old model where things are sponsored and people are getting things through content subscriptions. We never got into the Disney story. Disney owns ESPN, and then Disney bought Fox. And then Fox took the money that Disney paid them and invested in gambling.
Oh.
So just understand where this is going. We can sit here and talk all we want about the way things have been. They ain't staying that way. They're changing. And so the monoliths are going to get left behind. This is why a company like Disney is like, well, wait, ever all these kids that we don't know how to reach anymore are talking about Netflix? All right, let's start our own Netflix. You can go back 7 or 8 years and you can find internet stories of Cubans saying Netflix is going to fail. Why? Because at the time, Netflix was trying to be Showtime or HBO or something, and they were having a tough time getting rights. So what did Netflix do? They created their own content. Mm. And now all these people have Netflix subscriptions because they want that content.
Yeah.
It's a generic thing that you hear advertising people say all the time, but it's the truth. Content is king. And so these entities that were worried, wait, how are we going to make this work? They just started creating their own content, and the people came to them and paid them money for it.
And I saw this recently. I don't have it in front of me. I apologize. But I saw this on Twitter. It was a tweet showing the most profitable companies in America or something, or the biggest revenue generators, and it was how much they make per hour, per day, or whatever. And you know, Amazon was number one. They
right.
kill it, obviously.
Right.
But Netflix was one of them.
Yes. And 7 or 8 years ago, they were dead. They were dying. They were hemorrhaging money. So they created content. And let me just give you guys a little bit more. I've never really talked about this on the air, but KT and Ben know this. I have a nephew that's making a movie right now, like a normal traditional movie mm-hmm. that would be shown in the theater. And one of the first things they're talking about with distribution, as they deal with budgets and these things, they're talking about whether or not Apple or Netflix or Amazon is going to buy it. So if you go back 5 years, studios are talking about the studio system and making a movie, and it's going to be in the theaters. Now people are looking at it like, all right, who are the richest entities? It's Apple, it's Amazon. Will they buy it and put it on their platforms? So Disney is over here going, well, wait a minute, we're Disney. Oh, yeah, we need a platform. We own ESPN. Hell, we'll buy Fox. I mean, that's where we're going with all this. These traditional models are dead. And so while everyone's sitting here trying to, you know, resuscitate the dead models, the people that are going, well, let's just create our own content platforms and charge subscriptions.
And you
that's
know,
where this thing is going.
Right. And who are the companies you mentioned there?
Amazon and Apple.
Okay, so to me, yeah, Amazon is the most intriguing, because Amazon is so big. They were like, oh, Walmart's dominating. Thing. Let's go toe-to-toe with Walmart.
Right.
And then they started crushing it.
Right.
And you do wonder how other smaller companies can survive. If they're doing damage to Walmart, how is anybody supposed to do business of any kind if Amazon is just crushing everything? And then on top of that, if they're like, oh, yeah, we're just going to provide our own entertainment, and now we'll just run Amazon ads during all of our own entertainment. It's like, man,
you're just reinforcing the beast of people wanting to go subscribe to what it is that you're creating. If, like, to your point, I don't watch Yellowstone. I don't know about Paramount. But if Paramount is sitting here going, The best thing we can do if we're going to start a platform is when, who knows, you may be watching Yellowstone on direct, on demand or at a friend's house. We just keep going, oh, my God, you need to see the hills and you need to see this. Because eventually we're just going to have our own platforms and it's going to be a la carte subscription services.
Right.
When I turn on my Apple TV, I go, do I need Hulu? I don't know. My son needs Hulu. Okay, Hulu. You know, people are going to have a menu, and they're going to pick the five or six things that they want their subscription services to go to.
And the money, honestly, kind of gets close to being the same as it always was if you had traditional dish or DirecTV. It gets pretty close to being about the same. Cutting the cord, I think you save a little bit, but it ends up being pretty close.
I can't believe watching my kids. I can't believe the way they consume media. It's so different than anything I would have ever anticipated.
Right.
They don't need television. They don't need DirecTV. They don't need cable. They don't need anything like that. My son, my 13-year-old gets updates sent to his phone on every single thing that happens in sports that he needs to know about. And he'll tell me.
Right.
He's telling me stuff constantly. He'll tell me, hey, I saw that Jerry said something on Sean and RJ. It popped up on my phone at school. I'm like, oh, my God.
At school, too.
And it's like my daughter, she watches more YouTube than anything else. If you said, hey, we're getting rid of Netflix, we're getting rid of cartoons, we're getting this, as long as she had YouTube, she'd be like, I'm straight.
You think that's wild, though, trying to be a guy like me who owned his own adult video store on the way to Windstar.
I used to stop there all the time.
I mean, cell phone content just really put an end to that quickly.
Had to change mops all the time.
Did you guys happen to see the $170 million lawsuit that Google is paying YouTube?
Oh, I saw that. Yes. Okay, so
this is exactly what we're talking about. So Google will pay $170 million to YouTube because Google used illegally collected information from YouTube subscribers so they could target advertising to children. All right? So Ben just mentioned his kids watch everything on YouTube. It's what we always talk about. Where I'm like the other day, I have Instagram, right? So the other day I mentioned to my wife I really like those Link Soul pants. First time ever, 5 seconds later, a Link Soul ad showed up on my phone. So what they did was there's a Child's Online Privacy Protection Act that Google just straight violated. And now they're paying a $170 million fine. And you know what? It doesn't stop them one effing bit. It doesn't. There was so much other good Jerry stuff to get to, but it's a provocative conversation, and I liked it nonetheless. We'll get back into some of this Jerry audio later. But coming up next, we'll hear from Jason Garrett. We'll have the Jason Garrett presser right here on 105.